Green. Green means go. All right. Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. And if you'll stand, right? Am I on?
Every once in a while, that thing will pull a trick. It always does it on the guests, right? That's the way it works. Hold on a second here.
Okay.
Just pop this out.
Alrighty.
Even when you have guests, right?
How many preachers right. does it take to work the sound?
Thing okay.
Now try it.
I'll try it.
How about now? Got me now?
There we go.
Yeah. All right. I thought green meant go. All right. You found Matthew? All right. Matthew chapter 4. And if you when you found it, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read verses 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. All right. Matthew chapter number 4. Here's what the Bible says. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew. Now, last year when I was here, preached on Andrew. Y'all remember that? Does anybody remember that? It's okay if you don't, because I barely remember. And so, yeah, I didn't think so. It's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I preached it a lot last summer at a lot of different places. So, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and the ship was Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I'm going to preach on that one word at the end of verse number 18. Fishers. 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 Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bless the sermon. I know, Lord, this is a holiday weekend. This is the cream of the crop of the church. Lord, I believe I'll be preaching to the choir tonight, Lord, when it comes to this matter of fishing. But Lord, I pray that you would bless the sermon. I pray, Lord, I believe there's someone here that, Lord, that you mean to be able to hear this message. And I pray that, God, that it would be accepted with an ability to apply to their life. Lord, I pray this would be more than a social gathering, but a spiritual gathering. And God, I pray as I speak to ears that you would speak to hearts. Meet with us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus starts his earthly ministry down by the lake, and his right-hand man, John the Baptist, is now in prison. He still has a multitude following him that needs to hear the gospel. They need to be taught. They need someone to assist Jesus. Jesus needs someone to assist him in reaching this multitude. And so Jesus goes down to the lake, and he finds these four fishermen. Now, they just came in from working, and Jesus goes over to them, and he uses their occupation to describe their new vocation. And he tells these men, he tells them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, a lot of people will or have thought that this is when they got saved. But if you cross-reference this with John chapter 1, these men were already disciples of John. They were already Christians. They were already saved. They were disciples of John. So this wasn't their salvation experience. However, this was when they decided that their occupation was not as important as their vocation. Now, I understand whenever you start talking like that, we get a little nervous and we get to thinking in this day and age that the preacher's going to try to call everybody to preach. Not what I'm trying to do. I know not everybody's called to preach. But tonight, I want you to get something, church. Everybody in this room is called to be a fisher. Every single person. You say, well, I'm just a young person. I'm just a teenager. I'm just a child, a young child in here tonight. Or you don't know my home life. Listen, I don't have to know your home life. If you're saved, you're called to be a fisher. You say, I'm a teenager. I'm only 13 or 14. Then you're called to be a 13-year-old or 14-year-old fisher. You say, I'm an old man. You're called to be an old man that's a fisher. You say, yeah, but I can barely walk into the store. Well, then when you barely walk into the store, you're called called to barely walk into the store and be a fisher. We're called to be fishers. Jesus comes along and he tells these men who were fishermen, that was their occupation. Now, you study that word occupation means to occupy, to take up time, to take up space. That's how they made their money. That's how they paid their bills. In this day and age, so many people, that's what they live for. They think life is to pay bills and die. There's so much more to life than paying bills and dying. And Jesus comes to these men who that was their occupation, was being a fisherman, and he uses their occupation to let them know that there's also a vocation. That word vocation means a divine desire or duty or something that is above you and I. Something that we are, not that we use to pay our bills, but something we live for. It's not what I do to get money, it's what I do because of who I am. And Jesus uses the illustration of a fisherman to these fishermen of being a fisher to describe their vocation. You see, if I'm a doctor, I'm supposed to be a fisher while I'm a doctor. You see, if I'm a stay-at-home mom, then when I'm a stay-at-home mom and I go out of my house, I'm supposed to be a fisher everywhere I go, lugging those kids around. I'm supposed to be a fisher. When I go to the bank, I'm supposed to be fishing. When I go to the doctor's office, I'm supposed to be fishing. When I go to the restaurant, I'm supposed to be fishing. When I go to the store, I'm supposed to be fishing. You and I are called to be fishers. You may not be called to the mission field, and that's okay, but you're called to be a fisher. If Jesus Christ saved your soul, gave you a home in heaven, and hasn't taken you to heaven yet, you're called to be a fisher. You say, I'm not called to preach. I'm not a preacher. Man, I get tired of hearing that. Every single person is called to preach the gospel. We're called to be fishers. There's still a need. There's still a multitude of lost people that God needs our help winning to Christ. We need fishers. Let me give you three quick things about fishers. Number one, fishers forsake. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse number 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. These men, these four men, they left their nets, their father, their ship. They left all that to follow Jesus. They had to leave some things if they was going to go fish. If they was going to go fish for men, they had to leave those things behind. So many times we'll come to church and the preacher will preach on hell, or the preacher will preach on the missionary will show a slide, or the preacher will preach on the bus ministry, and we'll get convicted. And we'll say, man, Thursday night I'm coming to soul winning. And then we forget, wait a minute, I got golf on Thursday. Oh, I can't go. Can't go this Thursday. We'll say, oh, I'm coming on Saturday to that visitation day that they got on Saturday. I'm coming. But then we go, wait a minute, that's the big yard sale day. I can't come on Saturday. I can't come on. You know why? Because if you're going to fish, you got to forsake some things. You may have to give some things up. You may have to let some things go if you're going to be a fisher. If you're going to be a fisher, you got to let some things go. You know, one of the main reasons that we don't pass out tracts is because we're afraid. One of the main reasons we don't come soul winning is because we're afraid. We're scared somebody's going to say no. You know, that's the worst they can do. In the Bible, they cut people's heads off. And we're afraid of no. Or I'm good. People say I'm good, you know. Can I give you one of these? I'm good. And we're afraid of that. Or we try to sneak into a store without them knowing we're church people. You know what I'm talking about? We don't pass out tracts in the store because we want to get in and out of the gas station without them knowing we're church people. It's like a game, like we're church ninjas. We don't want to stop and give them a tract because then they would know we're church people. God forbid. It's because we're afraid. You know what that is? That's pride. We don't want to hurt our pride. We want to be cool. Listen, we can preach on the young people all we want about being cool. Us old people like being cool too. We like being cool. We like those store people that not think we're church people. I mean, and we can say that all we want, but listen, when it all comes down to it, we ought to just fish. Can you imagine those waitresses at the restaurant serving you, bringing you your food, filling your water cup? I mean, cleaning your plates off your table, and then you not telling them how to go to heaven? Because you're afraid that they may not want the track? Because they may not listen? We have to forsake pride. We have to forsake fear. Another reason some people don't go sowing is because they got sin in their own life. It's hard for me to tell other people about Jesus if I got sin in my life. I feel kind of strange knocking doors and saying, sir, number one, everyone's a sinner. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, you are too. You know what you did yesterday. And we have sometimes that sin complex where we know we got hidden sin, unconfessed sin, sins in our life, sins that we're hiding from everybody, and we don't want to go soul winning because we know God's going to bring those sins to our minds. And instead of dealing with our sin, we keep our sins hidden, and we let the whole world die and go to hell. Well, we hang on to our sin. We have to forsake. We may have to forsake some sports. A lot of us don't get involved in the bus ministry on Saturdays or Saturday soul winning because of college football. Now, in Kentucky, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have much of a college football team. It's not a temptation. Now, come basketball season, it's a temptation. But football, not really. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or if you got children, sometimes, you know, they play sports and they play every night of the week and twice on Saturday. Can't go soul winning, but boy, we can travel 3 hours to a soccer game. But we want to be fishers. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we want to cast some crowns at Jesus' feet, but we can't forsake some things in our life. And that's what we have to do if we want to fish. Can you imagine being a fisherman and they leave land, they leave their homes, they leave their families, and they're gone for weeks at a time? Why? To catch fish. And we can't miss our favorite Thursday night TV program to come Thursday night soul winning. Fishers forsake. I had a man in my church, he got saved. His name was Ishmael. He had a rough life. He had been in so many bar fights that his arm was drawn up like this right here and his face was all scarred up. I mean, he was a rough character. And he smoked. But he wanted to drive a church van. And I told him, I said, now listen, if you want to drive, he was burdened for people in his neighborhood. And he wanted to drive a church van. I said, now listen, Ishmael, if you want to drive a church van, you can't smoke. I can't have a smoking church van driver. And so we got to talking, and I told him, I said, now listen, I said, you know, you're going to have to work on that. So, man, I mean, he was chewing gum, was patched up like Raggedy Ann. I mean, he was trying his best to quit smoking. One night at church, this little kid came running in and said, Brother Ishmael's smoking! And I was like, no, well, yeah. He may smell like smoke, but he's trying to quit. And another kid said, no, he was smoking and driving the van at the same time. I was like, oh, no. I had to go talk to him. I say, Brother Ishmael, listen, you and I talked about this. Either you smoke or you drive the van. You got to pick. He had to forsake. Either he was going to decide to smoke cigarettes or he was going to decide to drive a van and pick up kids for church. He had to pick. And it was up to him. Thank goodness he chose to keep doing his patches and his gum, amen, and picked up some kids. Number two, fishers follow. Verse number 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus tells the fishermen, he says, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You know where these guys learned how to fish for fish? From their daddy. Their daddy taught them how to fish. So Jesus says, look, guys, I know you don't know how to do it, but if you come with me, I'll teach you how to do it. One of the main reasons that we're scared to come or that we don't show up for soul winning is because we don't know how. Or we feel like we don't know how. Or we feel like it's hard. We're like, well, what if I knock at a door and they ask me about the third toenail on the beast in Daniel? Tell them the same thing I tell them. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Everyone's a sinner. We all owe a sin debt. Jesus paid the sin debt. You can be saved. It's that easy. Jesus tells them, look, you all come with me. We're going to go hang around some maniacs, some sick people, some thieves. And he said, that's just a teenager. No, I'm just kidding. He says, come on. He said, I'm going to put you around some people that are sinners, and we're going to show them how to be saved. If you don't know how, get around somebody. If you come to a soul winning meeting on Thursday or Saturday, and the preacher will put you with somebody that knows how. I was reached through the bus ministry. My father-in-law actually picked me up on the church bus. And I ended up marrying his daughter, so y'all better be careful who you pick up. I tell people she was my prize for being good on the bus. But when I was 17 years old and I started going out soul winning with my father-in-law, I watched him and I watched how he loved people. And he loved everybody and he gave of himself and he would go through the gospel. And I watched how fervent of a soul winner he was. He won my dad to Christ. He won my grandpa to Christ. He was a soul winner. And I began to watch him, and I modeled my soul winning after him. And listen, he taught me to be a fisher of men. There's somebody in this church, if you don't know how, if you'll get with somebody that knows how, they can show you. You go a few times, and you're not talking, you're watching, you're learning, you're praying, and then eventually you're going to be so fired up after you know how to do it, you'll butt in, and you won't even give that person that talks a chance. But you got to let somebody show you. Fishers follow. They let someone show them how. I remember going fishing with my dad, fishing for fish. And I let him show me how to cast. Because when I first cast, I threw the whole pole in the water. But once he showed me how to push that Zebco 33 button, amen, not them fancy poles, that Zebco 33 button and cast it in, it was a lot easier. Hey, just get with somebody that knows how. Go with a bus captain. Go with an experienced soul winner. Go with the pastor's wife. Go with the pastor. Number three, and I'll be finished. Fishers fish. Duh, right? But you'd be amazed at how many churches, they buy bait. They put up signs. They advertise well. But they don't fish. Brother, I preached this sermon a couple weeks ago at a church. I had no idea. But they hadn't been soul winning in weeks. Now, I didn't know. I had no idea. I mean, it was one of our kind of churches. And I preached this sermon about soul winning, and we need to be fishers and go soul winning at the time when it's time to go soul winning. I had no idea behind me the preacher was going. Because they had canceled soul winning time. I didn't know. He got up when I was finished and he told the church, he said, church, I'm sorry. He said, I need to confess. He said, we haven't had soul winning in weeks. He said, we're having soul winning Thursday night. They had 30 out, 6 saved, including a 92-year-old grandmother of one of the men that was there. But fishers fish. Fishers fish. Hey, listen, when Jesus was here, his purpose in Luke 19:10, he said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul's purpose in the book of Corinthians, he said, that by all means I might save some. Listen, there's a need. Do you realize the person that lives on the left and on the right of you, if they're, when they die, they're either going to one of two places? Heaven is as real and hell is as real as Dover. And they're going to one of those two places. The people you go to school with, the people that you see in the store, the person that waits on you at the restaurant. You know why you have a bus ministry? To fish. You know why you have VBS in a few weeks? To fish. You know why you have an RU ministry? To fish. You know why you have junior church? To fish. You know why you go to the nursing home? To fish. You know why you go to the jail? To fish. We fish because we're fishers, and fishers fish, and a fisher who doesn't fish isn't a fisher. You may be here and you casually attend church, but you're saved. I want you to know something. God wants you to be a fisher. God wants you to pick up some of these tracks. You got a big track rack out there full of a variety of tracks, tons of baits. I mean, you've got everything from just bobbers and with hooks on them to, I mean, spinner baits, and I mean everything out there. And when you walk out there by the track rack, you pick you up some tracks and you go fishing this week. God wants you to be a fisherman. You may be hearing you're debating on a career as an occupation. You say, I really believe God wants me to be a doctor. God wants me to be a police officer or a fireman. Listen, and you say, I know you're here about the Bible college. Yeah, listen, hey, if God wants you to be in the ministry, you come see us at Commonwealth Baptist College. But if you come to Commonwealth Baptist College, one of the main things we're going to teach you is how to fish. Because if you're a missionary, you fish. And if you're a preacher, you fish. But if you're a fireman or a police officer or a doctor, you fish. We're all fishers. This church is not an aquarium, it's a net. One story and I'm finished. New Orleans, 1985. There was a party at a public pool. It was a huge party to celebrate the first ever summer without a drowning. 200 people gathered, including 100 certified lifeguards. As the party was breaking up, the four lifeguards who were on duty began clearing the pool, and they found a fully dressed body in the deep end of the pool. For Jerome Moody, age 31, it was too late. He had drowned, surrounded by lifeguards, celebrating a successful season. Church, help us. God, help us that this community doesn't drown in a lake of fire while the church celebrates a successful season instead of fishing for men. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I wonder who would be here and who would say, Brother Davis, I know somebody either in my family, a friend, a neighbor. There's somebody that I know that's not saved. Maybe you have witnessed to them. Maybe you haven't witnessed to them. Maybe you haven't witnessed to them in a while. But God put them on your heart tonight and you say, Brother Davis, I'm thinking about someone right now. Please help me pray for them that I could get a chance to witness to them. Maybe you're hearing it's your mom and dad. Maybe you're hearing it's in your family or a friend or a neighbor. You say, it's me, Brother Davis. I know somebody that's not saved that I need to witness to. Pray for me that I'll be a fisher. Anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up? God sees those hands. Wow. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. You can put them down. I wonder if there'd be somebody here that's never been out soul winning. You've never been with the church out soul winning. But you say, Brother Davis, pray for me. I want to be a fisher. I want to be a fisher. Maybe you've never came out soul winning on a Thursday or on a Saturday or on a time with the church. But you say, I want to be a fisher. Pray for me, Brother Davis. Anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all tonight? God sees that hand. Anybody else? God sees that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? God sees that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I wonder if there'd be somebody here tonight that'd say, Brother Davis, I used to pass out tracks a lot, but I'm kind of slacking. Kind of slacking on my passing out of tracks at the stores and at the gas stations and at the restaurants, and I've kind of quit fishing a little. Pray for me tonight. I'm going to get me a big stack of tracks, and I'm going to do some fishing this week. Pray for me, Brother Davis. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go fishing this week. Anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up? God sees those hands. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. I want there to be somebody here that would say, it wouldn't be right for me not to ask this. I want there to be somebody here that say, Brother Davis, I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody here like that, would you slip your hand up? I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody at all? I thought that would be the case. I just wanted to make sure. I did not want to preach on fishing without fishing. Listen, if you raised your hand, whether to pray for a lost loved one or a lost family member, or if you raise your hand that you need to start going soul winning or to begin fishing a little more with gospel tracts, won't you slip out of your seat as they play the invitation and come seal that decision with God at this altar. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. He's going to play.